right, brethren, good morning. It's good to have Cyril and Lenore back.
Glad to have our snowbirds back for the spring and summer. Let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Let's begin reading in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's ask God to bless the service. Our Father, we ask you now that you would bless us with the presence of our Lord, with the presence of your Spirit. Lord, speak the words of eternal life. We ask you, Lord, to, by your faithfulness, according to your holiness, according to your power, Lord, truly speak to us. Make us truly hear you. For Christ's sake, for the sake of his precious blood, his person, for your honor, for your glory, for the good of those you've everlastingly loved that are sitting here now. Lord, we ask this in the name of our great Redeemer, for his sake. Amen. Now, it says here, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Our Lord had clearly declared the gospel. He's the only man that stood on this earth that could rightfully and truthfully preach Christ. He preached himself. He declared to them he's the bread of life. He declared to them that except they eat his flesh and drink his blood, except they believe on him, they have no life. He declared to them that no man can come to him except the Father which has sent him draw him. He declared that he will not lose one of his people. He will lose nothing. He will raise it up at the last day. And he declared to them when they began to murmur and they were offended at his doctrine. He told them he knew they didn't believe. He knew who were his. And he said, this is why I said to you, no man can except my Father draw him. He must be taught of my Father. And this greatly offended them. And they went back and they walked no more with him. And then our Lord asked his true disciples and Judas, he said, will you go away also? And Peter spoke up and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We're sure you are that Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe you, and we're sure you're that Christ, the Son of the living God. Why is it that God's people, Christ's true disciples, cannot depart from Christ? The Lord promised that in the covenant. He said, I'll put my word in you, and you shall not depart from me. But it's a willingness. Our Lord wasn't making them stay. He wasn't forcing them to do anything. He turned to them and openly said, will you go away also? And they willingly had no desire to depart from him. How is that? Why is that? Well, first of all, those born and taught of God have no option. And we want no option. We have no choice. We want no choice. You know, the word heresies means choice. If a man still has choices to make, he hasn't heard God yet. When you've heard God, you don't have a choice. You don't want a choice. You don't have an option. Christ is all. They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? It's important here that Peter addresses our Savior as Lord. For the child born of God, that's a title of respect and reverence. That's owning him to be our God, to be our King, our sovereign Savior, our Master, our all. And only those born of the Spirit can own him as Lord and truly submit to him as Lord from a true heart, from an inward man. He said over in 1 Corinthians 12:3, I give you to understand, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Can't call his person accursed. Can't call his blood common. Can't say it was shed for everybody on this world. You can't do that. You can't call him accursed, speaking by the Spirit of God. And no man, he says, and no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of men named Jesus. To the believer, he's the Lord Jesus. And that's in our heart. Those that went back, they wanted to take him and make him a king. They wanted to make him their Lord. And they would have done that if he would have submitted to their will to make him king. And our Lord declared to them that they had to submit to him. They had to bow to him. They had to believe on him. They had to trust him to do everything necessary to save them. Because the sovereign God of heaven and earth, it's his will. He sent his son to work his will, and his will is that he's going to get all the glory for salvation. We're going to have to bow to him. And so they went back, and here's the thing. They didn't just go back. They walked no more with him. These were disciples who had been with him. Some of them may have been baptized by John the Baptist. Some may have been baptized by his apostles and following him. But they followed him for a while. And they went back. And they walked no more with him. But those born of the Spirit, they're made willing by his power to bow to Jesus of Nazareth, this one who is a man, this one who walked this earth, this one who hung on the cursed cross. We're made to bow to Jesus of Nazareth as Lord, confessing him to be the Lord, to be the Lord and the Christ, our sovereign Redeemer. And notice it's Christ himself who is our salvation. They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? We rejoice in what Christ did. We rejoice in all his benefits, all the blessings we have in him. We're thankful for him and what he's done for us. But brethren, the Lord Jesus himself is salvation to his true disciples. It's him. And back up there in verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He is complete satisfaction to God and complete satisfaction in the hearts of his people. We're not looking for something else. We found him. He's brought us to him. And he is that bread of life. He said in verse 47, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. He is. Christ is life. He's bread for our soul, better in a more eternal and all-encompassing way than earthly bread is to our bodies. Earthly bread's not alive, and earthly bread is only sustaining these earthly bodies, and we shall perish. That bread, that man in the wilderness, if it stayed overnight, it bred worms and it stank. Christ is the living bread. He's the living bread. He's life. And when he enters in, he gives life. and brings you to cast your care on him. He is the everlasting life of his people, the eternal life. His blood's effectual to put away sin. He put away sin. His blood accomplished the redemption of his people. But why is it effectual? Why is it eternal? It's because of him and who he is, his person, the Lord our righteousness. Paul said in Colossians, it pleased the Lord that in him should all fullness dwell. He's all fullness. He made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, I say, whether they're his people in heaven or earth, he's reconciled them all to him. It's by him. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. He is precious. He's our all in all. Whenever Haggai spoke of Christ coming, what did he call him? What did he call Christ himself? He said, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. That's Christ himself. The psalmist said, whom have I in heaven but thee? What's heaven to us? It's him. And there's none upon earth that I desire besides thee. He's the pearl of great price. He's the treasure. Go over to Philippians 3. Paul said, the things which were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, for him. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung that I may win Christ, Christ himself. Be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him. Lord, to whom shall we go? We know you and want to know you, want to know more of you, that I might attain to the resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. In Song of Solomon, whenever the bride is describing her beloved, she's describing him as the chiefest among 10,000. She describes his head. His head is his most fine gold. His locks, his hair is bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water. She's describing him, his cheeks, his lips, his hands, his belly, his legs, his countenance, his mouth. And then she ends up, she says, he is altogether lovely. To whom shall we go? Having him, we have all. Having him, we have all. In us, we have nothing. In ourselves, we have nothing apart from him. In him, we have all. And we need no other. We want no other. We have no other choice but Christ. To whom shall we go? Who would you go to? Do you ever think about how you would go through this life and what it would be like if you didn't know Christ and have Christ? There'd be no meaning. There'd be no purpose if you didn't understand he's ruling everything and he's doing it for the good of his people to bring us to see more of him. Nothing would be of any value in this life. Who shall we go to? We're going to turn to the law. We're going to turn to our own righteousnesses. That's just a curse upon our filthy rags. Who did he make sin for us? He made him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, the Lord our righteousness. Shall we turn to a form of religion? Religion would be nothing without him. He's the power of God. He's the wisdom of God. He's the gospel. You can't sit and hear messages that don't have him in them, that don't point us to him and don't show you he's your everything and you're all. You can't stand to hear him not declared and his works not declared. We're going to turn to our wisdom. We're going to turn to the riches of this world. Would they satisfy you now that you've known Christ? In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we can't depart from him, because to whom shall we go? And then secondly, true disciples must have his words. We have to have his words. He says, thou hast the words of eternal life. Now he is the word of life himself. John, over in 1 John 1:1, he said, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life, capital W, the word of life, speaking of Christ. We've seen him. The word of life. The life was manifested, he said. Life was manifested. We've seen him. We bear witness. We show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That's how he described Christ. He's the word of life. He is eternal life. He was with the Father. He came and was manifested to us. And the words that Christ speaks, they're the quickening words. They're spirit, they're life. And he continues to quicken and renew by his words. John 6, there in verse 63, he says, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. And he tells us what he means by spirit. The words that I speak unto you are spirit. And they're life. The words he speaks. Eternal life, they said. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Those that went back and walked no more with him, what were they looking for? This life. They wanted something better in this life. They wanted to have temporal bread, and they wanted to have a temporal kingdom, and they wanted to have health, and they wanted to have wealth, and they wanted to have prosperity in this life. That's not what it's about. He may not give us health. He may not give you wealth. He may not give you prosperity in his life in any way. His words are words of eternal life. Eternal life. He adds these secondary things to you and makes you enjoy this life, but it's to teach us more of him who is our eternal life. He's eternal life. He speaks life and he continues to quicken us all our day. Paul says there's one reason we don't faint. Our outward man is perishing day by day. We're getting older, we get more wrinkled, we get more gray, we just going to go weaker, weaker, weaker till we're going to lay off this body of death in the grave. But the inward man is renewed day by day. How come? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The psalmist said, he satisfieth thy mouth with good things, and thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So we need his words, don't we? We need him speaking to us constantly. Turn me, Lord, and I'll be turned. How are we going to be turned? He's going to speak. He said, if you turn to the left or to the right, you're going to hear that still small voice speak. Say, this is the way, walk in it. And he's the only one that can speak that effectually. Calm the sea. Be still. And make you follow him. That's so. He has the words of eternal life, the words that lead to him, the words that feed us him, the word that edifies by him and keep us looking to him. He's the word, and he speaks the word. And when he speaks the words, they're effectual. They quicken, they give life, and they turn us to him who is the word. And then lastly, by Christ's grace, his true disciples cannot depart because his word has given us faith and assurance. This thing's beyond doubt. We have plenty of unbelief in our flesh, but he's going to keep you believing him and assured in him. They said, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now notice this order. We believe and are sure. That's God's order. Those who went back were carnal. And here's what they wanted. And this is our carnal fleshly way. Make us sure and then we'll believe you. Show us a sign to assure us you are who you say you are, then we'll believe you. Show us the way's going to be plain and our way's going to be prosperous and providentially we can see everything's going our way, and then we'll believe you, Lord. The true order is we believe. Believe Him. Believe in Him, we have some assurance. He's our assurance. We know what He does is going to be right. What He does is going to be according to His purpose and His promise and His glory, and it'll be for our good. What He does, we believe Him, and that's why we're sure. The psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed. Then I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He doesn't give you heaven first in the land of the living and then say, now see, here it is. What I said to you was true. Now believe me. No, He brings us and gives us faith now to believe Him. And then we're going to enter into the goodness in the land of the living. We believe. And believe in Him, we're sure. He says in the next chapter, if you do the will of the Father, He told us what that will is. Come to Him, believe on Him, trust Him to do the works. He said, you do the will of the Father, then you'll know the doctrine. That's not how they wanted it. They wanted to know, this is a hard saying. You got to explain this to us and make us sure of what you're saying, then we'll believe on you. We believe that thou art that Christ. We believe and we're sure thou art that Christ. Christ means the anointed Savior, chosen and anointed of God. We believe thou art that Christ, that one anointed by God the Father from before the world was made. We believe and are sure that you're the one that was prophesied of, the one that was promised, the one that was pictured throughout the Old Testament. You're that prophet God promised through Moses, where Moses said He's going to raise up unto you a prophet like me. We believe you're that prophet, Lord. You're that prophet. We believe, we're sure, God the Father appointed and authorized and anointed the Lord Jesus to be the Savior of His people. He chose Him, He anointed Him, He equipped Him, He sent Him according to His will. He's the anointed Savior of His people. Him alone. John 6:27 there, He told them, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. He sealed Him. He anointed Him. He sealed Him. He put His stamp of approval on Him. When something's sealed, it's sacred. It's precious to the one who chose it and anointed it. That's Him. On the bank of the Jordan, the Spirit came down upon Him, and the Lord said, this is He, this is He. The Spirit came upon Him without measure, just like He promised in Isaiah when He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings. He's the preacher. He's the one that's going to get the glory for teaching His people. The Lord anointed him. Peter announced to the house of Cornelius when he went to see him over in Acts 10:38, he said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. You mean Jesus, that one we know, Joseph, worked with Joseph in the carpenter shop of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yes, God hath anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Why was He anointed? He was anointed to lay down His life for His people, accomplishing the Father's glory and His people's salvation. He said in Acts 4:27, of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, holy, because He was anointed and set apart for the work, and holy and perfect within Himself. That holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. They were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. That's what he was anointed for. Lord, you've given me a body to do your will. He said, I came to do his will, the will of him that sent me. What was that will? It was to glorify God in the salvation of a people through that bloody death on the cross. To declare God the righteous God, the merciful God, the God who saves. So everything that took place toward him and putting him on that cross was all of God, because he was the anointed Savior to lay down his life for his people. And that's what the psalmist was declaring in Psalm 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's a deadly game. But that's what they did to our Lord. They set themselves, they took counsel together, they went against him, they went against his anointed. They said, let us break their bands asunder, let us cast their cords away from us. Not going to have this man reign over us. He's anointed from the foundation of the world. Is there any possibility he's not going to reign? None. He's God's choice. He's the one God elected to do the saving and to be receive all honor and glory. He's anointed of God. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He'll speak unto them in his wrath, vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet, now listen to this. I didn't see this before this week. He said, yet have I set my king. That word set means anointed. I've anointed my king on my holy hill of Zion. Despite all that they tried to do, God said all they did was accomplish what I determined before to be done. And it all ended in me setting my king on my holy hill of Zion. Peter said, we believe, Lord. We're sure you're that Christ. You're that anointed one. Anointing and sealing us with the Spirit is how we believe. And that's how we're sure. The Spirit of God sealed us. And so therefore, just like he's precious to the Father, he's precious to you who believe. We believe, we're sure he's our Savior. He's our salvation. He's our righteousness. He's our redemption. He's our holiness. He's glory. He's our portion. He's our inheritance. He's all to his people. Is he all to you? Without him, we have nothing. Without him, I have nothing. He is all. He's the delight of the Father's heart, and he seals us and makes himself to be the delight of our heart. We believe and sure you're the Son of God. You're the Son of God. He told them, he said, you offended at this doctrine, and I say you have to believe on me or you can't be saved. He said, what's going to happen when you see me ascend back to where I was? That's where I was with the Father. The Son of God came down, accomplished the work, finished the work, redeemed the people, everlastingly, eternally made a people righteous by his blood and his doing, and said, it's finished. And he went back to the Father, and all his people went back in him. He's the Son of God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you're complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. He's ruling everybody, every ruler, every empire, in heaven and in earth. He's the head of all. And you're complete in him. And he is the fullness of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the God-man mediator. And that word means, when it says complete, it's the same word as fullness. As fully as he's the fullness of the Godhead in a body, that's how fully complete you are in him. Our mediator is going to keep us in faith. Well, you know, later, Peter did what this multitude did, or tried to do that. he walked away. He denied the Lord three times, and he walked away. Why didn't he apostatize like they did? Only one reason. The Lord said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. That's the one reason. He went to them. They were out there. They were fishing. They went back. He led more with him. Let them away. The Lord went. He said, have you caught any fish? No. Wonder why they didn't catch any fish. He said, here's fire. Here's some meat. Here's some fish. Come dine. He called them to himself. He fed them. And he spoke the words of eternal life into Peter's heart. And he brought Peter to say, Lord, I believe and I'm sure. That's the only reason he didn't go away. He's going to keep us. He's going to keep us feeding on him. The bread of life sustained and strengthened because it's the will of the Father. Because it's his own love and grace to do it. Because he has purchased his people with his blood. So here's what he says to us. Hebrews 10. Verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. It's him we're looking for. He's coming. He's the promise. He's the reward. He's the recompense. A little while and he will come and will not tarry. Now the just, those he's justified, those that he's truly spoken to, they shall live by faith. They shall. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them which draw back unto perdition, unto destruction, to apostasy. We're not of them. By his grace, by his words, by his power. We're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's what he said. He that comes to me, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm going to keep them. I will lose nothing, he said. Not only not one of them. If they lost a finger, if they've had an organ removed, if they've had a whatever, I'm raising them complete. I'm raising them perfect. When I raise them, I'm going to lose nothing that belongs to me, he said. Not one of them and not one member of them. They're going to be raised a perfect body glorified by him. That's, we believe and we're sure by him. All right, brethren. Father, we thank you for this word. Pray you bless it now. Make Christ to be altogether lovely to us. Make yourself to be our all and make us have no other option but to trust you and believe you and walk through this life looking to you, feeding upon you, sustained by you, robed by you, protected by you, and one day glorified by you. Lord, don't take your spirit from us. Don't leave us to ourselves. We ask you, Lord, to keep us for your name's sake. For your glory, according to your covenant. It's in his precious name we ask it. Amen.